You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now it's time to hear from the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March.
About a month ago, we spoke to a researcher sounding the alarm over the state of our primary healthcare here and globally. You can find that at 95bfm.com. Across the globe, services meant to be the first port of call for health issues such as dentals, general practice, and pharmacists were found to be increasingly under stress as costs grow and workforces fail to keep pace with demands. Here in Aotearoa, New Zealand, the Royal New Zealand College of General Practitioners Workforce Survey in 2022 raised concerns. Over half of GPs were planning to retire within the next decade. A declining number of GPs work in GP-run practices, and filling that gap is an increasing number of corporate healthcare providers. As the holder of the Green Party's primary healthcare portfolio, our Green Party interviewee is the perfect subject to discuss his party's platform on the subject. So for our weekly catch-up with the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March, we talk primary healthcare, its current state here in Aotearoa, the issues it faces, and where the Green Party would like to take it.
Morena, Ricardo.
Morena, thanks for having me.
I want to use today to talk about one of your portfolios within the Green Party, the primary healthcare portfolio. There's a lot of coverage done within it in terms of preventative care, obviously, and general care. I want to start the conversation today by going across what primary healthcare covers for our listeners. For you, how do you conceptualise the portfolio and its responsibilities?
Yeah, so in politics, when politicians talk about health, often they're talking about hospitals and hospital infrastructure and the need to, you know, build new hospitals or adequately staff them, which is really, really important. But one of the things that we face as a country is that we've got people who show up to hospital for things that could have been treated earlier and could have been prevented. And this is where primary care, in my view, is. It covers a huge range of services, from public health organizations to, you know, like our pharmacies to GP services, community nurses, and you name it. And the idea is to work upstream to deal with things promptly and before people have to present to hospital in pain for something, like I said, that they could have had a pharmacist adequately recognize a minor ailment and prescribe something, or a GP that could have identified the care that people needed, or, for example, even something as basic as treating a toothache or a cavity before somebody needs to show up to hospital with literally so much pain that they need just a tooth extraction. So that is the range of primary care, and we're very much committed to addressing that so that the focus isn't just on hospitals.
And with a portfolio like this, it's obviously, as you say, very important for the idea of preventative care and not being just an ambulance at the bottom of the cliff, but also stopping people from falling off and their health issues from growing. But what issues do you see within New Zealand's primary health care? Is there issues? Is there not issues? Is it all going good?
Yeah, no, there are huge issues when it comes to accessing things like GP services and ensuring that our pharmacies are adequately resourced. One of the key things is obviously workforce, and particularly in rural areas. One of the ways that we fund our GP services at the moment does not account adequately for example, socioeconomic inequities or even health inequities along ethnicity lines. And the way that we fund, for example, our GP services has created the conditions where it's technically more profitable to set yourself up next to a wealthy retirement village than it is to set yourself up in an area that has a lot of low-income people who haven't had access to health services or where Pacifica and Māori have been historically underserved. But there's also issues around, for example, who owns these services. We're seeing corporate entities buying up pharmacies and taking over pharmacies services as well as GP services. And these are not community models. These are not models that center the needs of the communities and instead put profit over people. So that's the other area that we're particularly concerned about.
Yes, on that topic, we did a Wire special on this a few weeks ago. People can check that out online if they want to. But we were talking to a GP who was worried that a lot of GPs now heading to that retirement age in the next 10 years over 50% of the workforce is planning to retire, and we're not quite getting to that place of replacing them yet. And with that, there is this concern that given that they are all private practice anyway, that they might be taken over by sort of a corporate monopoly-ish healthcare situation, that could be a potential in our future. But what other solutions for something like this?
Yeah, so in our green budget that we released this term, we have a vision where we can establish a community care service, basically providing free GP and nurse services, and starting with high needs area. And this will include support for Kaupapa Māori nonprofits and community providers, as well as also providing funding for low levels of GP services within mobile vans that can reach rural schools, marae, and other community centres. There's also the component and the reality of making sure that we further boost the uptake that our schools can take basically for placements of doctors. And I think this, alongside having a publicly owned and run model, is important to retain the workforce. Many GPs do not train to basically become small business owners. They train to provide healthcare. And right now, GPs are at a crossroads where many of them may find it easier to actually just let those clinics go corporate and have a corporation run the admin of it. And that risks our services being taken up by entities that do not put people ahead of profit. And we could end up having an even further Americanization of our healthcare system, where critical parts of our healthcare system are run by huge corporates. And this is why for us, you know, GP services and dental services have been a priority, because these are two entities that have not been properly, fully brought into the public healthcare system like many other parts of our healthcare system have historically.
Now, last electoral cycle, we saw a lot of promises being made around dental care. Should we expect to see more this time around?
You'll have to wait and see. We'll release our election announcements and our manifesto soon. But in a green budget, we were still committed to making dental care free. And you would have seen that, you know, several journalists have been covering issues where people are choosing to go overseas to get dental care or simply postpone it because they can't afford it. And the problem that we have is that people end up, again, presenting to the hospital with a huge amount of pain, and all they end up getting is an extraction, where we could have supported people to get annual checkups. And I recognize that it's not just as simple as sort of slapping a policy that says free dental care. It's about adequate boosting of our workforce. It's about starting those public services where the need is the highest, and also recognizing the need for mobile services as well as the funding that we provide to the under 18 services, which are already free. So the idea is to have a holistic policy package that can support people to access primary care.
All right. Now, moving into an area of innovation and how the government can help improve services, especially in that decentered model that we really have for healthcare in New Zealand. There's been lots of talk about a unified data forum, a space to share patients' health data in a way that can unify care across your dentist, your GP, your specialist in hospital. There's also been a lot of data breaches recently across different, not public health care data, but ones run through GPs.
Yeah.
What's your view on something like this?
Yeah, look, the key thing here is that we need adequate resourcing to ensure that our data systems are safe, that we have the workforce that keeps ensuring that the software that is used is up to date and is well protected from security breaches. And one of the advantages of, for example, having a publicly owned model is that we also start creating the conditions for that to be managed with the public interest, as opposed to leaving private companies completely take over the running of our cybersecurity. People's information on health is, as many will obviously know, extremely private and sensitive information often, as it may contain, you know, stuff that may relate to people's trauma, it may relate to issues around mental health, etc. So the key thing here is to adequately procure and resource the workforce that looks after this, so that we don't see the security breaches, and I am concerned that this government isn't adequately prioritizing this.
And now, as we get to the end of the interview, I just want to spitball ideas at you and to see what you take to. There's an idea that came out of Costa Rica of effective healthcare provision from like a nurse-type role that would support a network of healthcare providers and a hub. So you'd have your dentist, your specialist, your GP, all of that would work in one place, and then these people would go out to the community, they would triage them, take down their problems, and then take those back to the specialists and streamline the process there. Could you see something like that happening in Aotearoa, New Zealand?
I think there are some communities that already have this triage model, and a lot of it relies on public health organizations being able to be resourced and mandated to do this. And so, yes, we would, of course, support that work happening in the community. Ultimately, I think a lot of the work on prevention relies on having healthcare workers that are resourced, adequately paid, and that we have enough to be in the community to connect people with health services. You know, when I've been out to South Auckland, the issues that people report to me is that, you know, we've got families who haven't gone to a GP in years, potentially decades, just simply because there is that lack of trust, that lack of connection, that lack of a relationship with healthcare workers. And so absolutely support greater investment in ensuring that we have people out in the community connecting people and signing them up to their GPs as well.
All right, Ricardo, this is our time. Thank you very, very much for talking to
Thank
me this
you so
morning.
Much, Manuel.
That was Green Party's Ricardo Menendez-March on primary healthcare here in Aotearoa, New Zealand.
That was the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez-March.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.